Greetings, Good Sailing America, where our answer to today's vaccine-induced deaths and disease is always covered up. And callers, if you can mute your phones, because there's a lot of noise in the background, unless you're speaking, that would be very helpful. And I just have to state, these IRN news breaks are such an embarrassment to me. We have to listen to how Twinkie's out of business, and we have stories like these women have that are not being covered. It is disgusting. Okay, Lindsay, I want you to continue. I know you're getting very emotional, and that's understandable. But your story is so important. I just want to highlight where we are now. So your son, 4 months or 4 months and 2 weeks, although he was 2 months premature, is dead, 10 to 12 hours after his last vaccine. They're now making you look like the bad guy. They've taken you aside and asked you to undergo police interrogation and all this other crap. No report of the autopsy results, etc. And so continue from there, please.
From there, I mean, this has just been 2 months ago now. From there, I was kind of, I didn't know what to do. Fortunately, I was contacted by someone online that said, listen, you really need to get an attorney. You know, that these people are going to come after you because you're saying the vaccine is what killed your son. They're going to try and, you know, harass you. You need to have an attorney. So, and they had the name of one who actually, handles stuff like this. As I tried to explain, I'm a single mom. My husband passed away while I was pregnant, and I have, a friend started a fund. I don't know if I'm allowed to talk about Nixon's Facebook page. And
Go ahead. Give it out.
He has his own Facebook. It's Nixon. It's named after his father, Nicholas Nixon, N-I-C-K-S-O-N, Law, L-A-W, Pelton, P-E-L-T-O-N. And he has his own Facebook, and there's information there on ways that you can help via PayPal. Or, he's got a bank account, things like that, because all of these things take money, and I've got a long road ahead of me to get any justice for my son.
And
my
let me
goal
just say,
is another parent.
Wait, I just want to say that the devastation that these people wreak on the parents, because, first of all, yes, as soon as you're being threatened with a possible criminal charge, then all of a sudden you're thinking, oh, my God, I have two other children. What are they going to do if they have no mother? Now you're being scared to make you think that they're going to, you know, throw you in jail for this, which they've done many times. And talk about trauma, losing your husband, losing your son, and then having to undergo this trauma. It's unspeakable. It really is. It's pure evil. Go ahead.
I live in fear, to the point of, like, crippling fear. I asked my father if he could build a fake wall so that if the police came to get me, I'd have somewhere to hide. Because, the way they treated me was so horrible.
Right. And that's why I sent you the newsletter I wrote where the police officer, sergeant from Australia, is coming forward and talking about this. Because somebody should drop that in these police officers' lap. You see, because I'm sure many of them have been vaccine damaged. I'm sure many of their children have been vaccine damaged. But this is just a policy. It's a policy by the police and the prosecutors. We can't talk about vaccines. Okay? If they have a conscience, they should overcome their policy. Because in your case, it is so obvious. You had a totally normal child, although he did a thumping leg thing, and that was probably from vaccines, obviously, as well. Sounds like he was starting to have, like, mini seizures. However, it's obvious. He was fine. He got the vaccine while having a low-grade fever. Now he's dead. There is no other explanation, as far as I'm concerned, other than the vaccine killed him. And they are not even considering that, apparently. They're, it's like, I forget the name of the bank robber. Somebody asked him, why do you rob banks? And he said, that's where the money is, okay? So in this case, what killed the child? Well, let's start with the vaccines, okay, and go from there. And the fact that they haven't released the autopsy is a very big red flag, because I'm sure that your son's brain was massively demyelinated, and that would have been very obvious on an autopsy, but who knows if they even looked for it. Go ahead.
Yeah. I just know that, like I said, they were, you know, the line of questioning, and they later they told me what they came by to get release of records from the pediatrician's office, and there was a form that the pediatrician's lawyer had drawn up asking, stating that to release the records, I had to approve that they would not be held liable for anything that came about from those records. And I was like, well, that is very, very odd. I don't agree with this. And the police officer was like, no, just sign it. I'm sure it's no big deal. I'm like, no, I've never heard of this in my life. I could write a blank letter stating.
Wait. I have to underline that for people. They have to hear things with me yelling it at them. Red flag, okay? How can they possibly ask you to sign a form that says that upon releasing your records, you're basically allowing them complete amnesty from any part they had in your son's death? Okay, first of all, that's extortion. Second of all, the police officer telling you go ahead and sign it, that it's okay. That's obviously conspiracy between the police and the pediatrician in order to allow you to, you know, basically sever ties with the pediatrician and let the pediatrician go free for murder. That's very, very serious. And I know you have an attorney now, and I did speak to her, and she seems to be a good an attorney. I did speak to her, and she seems to be a good person, an ex-nurse, and she seems to have a definite interest in you obtaining, quote-unquote, justice, if there is such a thing when your child is dead. But as I said, you must get the records from the pediatrician and the records that were released to the police, because the police didn't need you to sign a darn thing, okay? They can subpoena records. And if the pediatrician has changed anything since she released the records to the police, then that's a felony. That's actually tampering with evidence. And not to mention the fact that because of the timeline in your case, you have an excellent opportunity to go to the vaccine course. I can't imagine them having an excuse to turn down your case.
Well, as I was told, and I guess this kind of goes along with the next lady that you're going to interview, that I was basically told that, and quote-unquote, dead babies do not bring in as much money in the court system as babies that have been maimed or have a diminished quality of life. And I tried to explain, what about my diminished quality of life? And they said, well, you can always have another one. Well, no, I can't.
Your husband's dead. Okay, and as I explained to you on the phone in our previous conversation, and this is important for people to know as well, I saw this myself in the hospital, and they have passed laws, I'm sure in every state, that if somebody is maimed or severely injured by any medical procedure, diagnostic test, treatment, or whatever, the family gets less money in a, you know, malpractice or lawsuit payout if the patient is dead than if they are maimed for life. And that is why they're killing people in hospitals. Because if they know they screwed up, they know that they're better off killing the person than having them, you know, end up being discharged with this permanent disability. And that's why I left medicine to begin with. I saw them killing people. And believe me, there's many ways you can kill somebody when they're in the hospital. Little accidents happen, and they can cover it up in the medical records, especially now that medical records are electronic, because they can always alter them after the fact. So have you tried to get your medical records yourself? Have you Well, actually, it would have to be you going there and saying, I want the medical records. Have you
Yes, Dr. Carly. To be honest with you, I have not. I cannot. I physically cannot.
You can't stand even in that office. I understand. Okay, I'm sorry, Lindsay. I hear the music. We're going to a break. After the break, I'll bring you back if you want to make any closing comments. But I suggest you stay on the line. I want you to hear what our other mom, Alicia, has to say. We'll be right back,
yes,
folks.
Yes, yes.
We'll be right back, folks. Stay tuned. And we're back with What's Ailing America, where our answer has been vaccine-induced deaths are always covered up. We have Mom Lindsay on the line, who's told her story about how her child was obviously killed by vaccines. And one other thing I just want to add, Lindsay, is your attorney will hopefully be getting the medical records soon. She can subpoena them from the pediatrician, and as I said, she should get them from the police as well, and they should be compared. Once that's done, if I was you, because, of course, I don't give medical advice after they went after me, I would make a report yourself to the Vaccine Adverse Events Reporting System, VAERS. The pediatrician should have done it, but obviously she's looking to protect her backside. But you can report it yourself. And if I was you, I would, you know, make that a priority as soon as you get those medical records, because that will also be important in your case. Of course, the VAERS system admits that less than one-tenth of vaccine reactions are even reported to begin with, because the pediatricians will never do it. But you can do that yourself. So, you know, please let us know anything else you'd like to end with, and then I want you to hear what Alicia has to say. Her story is very hellish as well. And I'm so glad that both of you came on the show, because this is why I do what I do, because I love the children. The children must be protected, and these psychopaths with white coats, they have to know what they're doing. There's no way they can't see it with their own two eyes. You know, and that's why that pediatrician tried to get you to sign some kind of opt-out form for her to be responsible, because she knows what she did. There's no question.
Yes, ma'am. I just thank you for being a part of this and helping with your knowledge. So that hopefully, you know, like you said, that there really will never be any justice. I'll never have my son back. He was a beautiful, amazing child, and not just playing the martyr, because, you know, he's gone. He was an amazing, amazing baby.
And he was
thankful for this 1 month I had with him.
Right, and he was the only link you had to your husband, who died just a little while before in a car accident. I mean, the trauma of that, you know, because your other children had another father. The trauma of that fact that your only link to your then husband is gone. You know, all I can say is, you have to stay strong for your son who died to bring attention to this case, to help others, and for your two living children as well, obviously. But I'm here for you. I will do anything I can, you know, even if it's just talk to you when you can't take it anymore, because I know what's going on. I've seen it, and that's why I do what I do.
Well, you know, that's... I had one person mention at one point that it was so terrible, you know, that we had been, you know, started funds and for donations and open PayPals and done all this, you know, to get donations, that it was so awful. But we reminded people that, you know, first of all, the fact that my husband died, I'm unable to work. And I don't know that we didn't really talk about either, but 3 weeks before my husband passed away, my entire home burnt to the ground. We were in a rental the entire time I was pregnant. So I lost everything. I have nothing. baby pictures, ultrasounds, letters my husband wrote me. So my son was it. That was all. The only thing I had. And he would look identical to his daddy. And they took him. They took him from me. And my goal is to keep other parents from having to deal with this, and I'm going to be on every soapbox. I'm going to try and write books. I'm going to tour. I'm going to do whatever I can do just to make people more aware so they don't go in ignorant and leave it up to these monsters.
I totally agree.
And to anybody who
tries to make you feel guilty to get, like, some kind of a donation thing sent up, those people are probably donating to political campaigns to these traitors who are selling it out every day. If I was you, I would just spit on those people. I mean, you know.
Well, I wrote on his Facebook today. I said, you know, you guys don't think twice about sticking money in a boot or buying Girl Scout cookies or, you know, doing all these things like McDonald's, you know, just random little boxes, places people put things, and yet here's a real life story in your face, and it's a true need, and it affects millions in everybody's lives. Like, everybody is some way touched by vaccine injury, and yet you want to, like, hesitate to help this cause.
Well,
but
I can assure you those people are trolls. People are hired to post stupid things like that in chat rooms and Facebook. I've encountered the same crap. I spent 7 years in 7 courts trying to save my only son. I almost ended up on the street myself. And, yeah, I have a PayPal button on my sites as well. And people will make sarcastic comments. It's like, well, why don't you just get a job at Walmart or something? I mean, this is what we have to deal with, because these psychopaths know exactly what they're doing, and they're trying to make other people think this is nothing to worry about. You know, these are just hysterical moms, you know, believing that there's a conspiracy to harm children. It's self-evident there's a conspiracy to harm children, because there's no way they can't know what they're doing.
Right. Well, I mean, I don't know if I have one more minute to add something, but
go ahead.
I was a special needs teacher, and I was specialized in autism spectrum disorders. And I was one of those who thought that people who were anti-vaccine were hysterical parents.
Mm-hmm.
I taught children with autism, and at that time, I'm not sure what's happening, but at that time I thought that... I thought that people were hysterical, and that there was no such thing, that autism was, you know, naturally occurring. And now in hindsight, I look back and I realize that it is occurring more and more, and it's being diagnosed more and more, because they're pumping our children with more and more toxins.
Right.
You know, like, what is it, up to 42 vaccines by the age of 6 months now?
Mm-hmm.
Compared to 15, like in the 80s? I mean, come on. At what point are we going to say enough is enough?
Right. Well, it's actually up to 65 if you get all the different vaccines that they suggest. But thank you so much for calling in, and definitely keep in touch.
All right. Thank you so much.
Okay, but stay on the line if you can, so you can hear what Alicia has to say. Okay, Alicia, we're having so many weird things happening with your phone. In this connection, so I definitely want to get your story out there. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. First, I just want to say, if you go on YouTube and type in Damon, D-A-M-I-N, Hamptons, H-A-M-P-T-O-N-S, story, Damon Hamptons story, you can see a YouTube of a Fox News story that was done on Alicia Hampton's situation, which is a total whitewash, and that's why I sent you, Alicia, a court decision that Fox News can lie. And this was in regards to two reporters who wanted to tell the truth about bovine growth hormone, and they were fired, and then the court came and said, oh, they can tell you to lie, it's okay. And in your case, on this Fox News story that was out of Oklahoma, it was very obvious that they were just totally ignoring the vaccine connection. So please, you know, set your story up, because it's one of the most obvious situations. But before you do, I just want to remind the listeners what I said at the top of the show, that they're making a big deal out of the fact that this compounding pharmacy in Massachusetts came out with a steroid injectable. It was contaminated with mold spores, and 32 people have died. Well, in the situation that Alicia is going to tell us about in Oklahoma, 34 children got vaccinations for H1N1 at the health clinic. 30 of them are dead, and you'll hear what happened to her children. And it's really amazing, Alicia, this is not being looked at by Congress. There's no congressional, you know, hearings going on or nothing of the kind. But, of course, we know it's because of the vaccine cover-up. So please tell the listeners what you went through.
When my son was 6 months old, I took him to the health department to get an H1N1 shot. They said the swine flu was going around, and that was the only way to protect yourself and your children. So, of course, you know, just trying to protect my children, I took both my kids down to the health department in 2009 to get their vaccine for the shot to keep them from getting the swine flu. And they injected my son and my daughter and myself. And I felt really sick afterward. Went home, and approximately 10 days later, my son became very ill and ended up in the hospital with bacterial meningitis. Within those 10 days of him getting that shot, I took him to the hospital several times. He was running a fever, you know. And I remember being at the health department, and I talked to the nurse. I asked her if it would make him sick, because I know when people get shot, sometimes they get a cold. And she said, oh, he'll have a little cold, you know, nothing to worry about. It's common. And so, you know, he did get sick. It took him to the hospital. They said, oh, well, he just got the H1N1 shot. This is common. There's nothing wrong with your child. Take him home. I took him home, you know, on the 10th day, my ex-husband ended up taking my son to the hospital because he was, he wasn't coherent. He was running a very high fever of 108. His legs started.
Wait a minute, 108?
108 degrees. His brain was basically frying. So they took him down to the hospital, and he lost all the circulation in all his legs, and, they had turned purple. He lost circulation in his fingers, and his body began to swell up, and they drilled you know into his kneecap to get blood, because that was the only way they could do it. And then I, you know, by the time I got to the hospital to see my son, he was in Children's Tulsa Hospital. His legs were completely black, like frostbite. Within 4 hours of me being at work, his legs, and when I seen him, he was normal. And 4 hours later, my son's legs were completely black, and I walked in the room, and it was the most devastating thing I've ever seen, because when I walked in the room to see him for the first time, the doctor had just lifted up his leg, and his toe completely disconnected from his foot, and it fell. It fell onto the floor, and this is, you know, exactly 10 days after he got the shot, and, you know, and he went into a coma, and they said he had a 5% chance to live. He was on complete life support. Again, he was only 6 months old. They wanted to pull the plug on him. They said there was absolutely no way the child could live. And the doctors were very stern about telling me not to go to the media about this, because they kept questioning him about the H1N1 shot. Of course, they kept throwing the idea out of the way completely. And I did. I went to the media because it was bizarre. You know, my daughter was in the hospital too. As I went in to go see my son, the doctor noticed a rash occurring on my daughter's face, and then threw her in the hospital as well. She came down with the same thing, but they were able to push it out of her system within 14 days, and she was fine. But my son, it was too late. So I went to the news, and I just wanted people to know about what was going on, and especially seeing the doctors really didn't want me to do it. That pushed me to do it even more, because that was a little suspicious to me. You know, and I went to the news, and I told him, you know, about everything that happened with my son, and I showed them pictures, and I told them that I know that it was from the H1N1 shot. I mean, the doctors told me he could have got sick from it. I took him to the hospital. He was sick. They kept telling me, oh, it's normal. You know, it happens. And, you know, they even went to the health department, the news crew did, and, you know, because I told them it came from the H1N1 shot, and they went to the health department and questioned them. The health department said there's absolutely no way that anyone could get sick from that shot. There's no evidence that it can even bring your immune system down or give you a cold. And they said they had absolutely no record of me ever being there, that I'm lying, I never went there to get that shot. And I went down there to find, you know, get all my records, and they, I'm completely out of the system. No evidence of me ever even being there. Right. And then okay. The doctors, they...
Let me comment on a couple things. First of all, this is why they developed electronic medical records. Because if you have a paper trail, that can't be erased. They can change things, and I saw things like that happening in the hospital. But if you've got electronic medical records, you can just press delete. And that's obviously what they did in your case, okay? So that's a very important red flag. As far as what happened to your son, basically, I mean, when we talked before, you hadn't mentioned a temperature of 108. I've never even seen a temperature that high. Total gross malpractice that they sent you home in the prior times you brought him to the hospital to begin with. But what happened to him is that he underwent circulatory collapse. That's why his limbs, his both of his lower legs, his fingers, and even his nose. If you go to the YouTube Damon Hampton story, you will see pictures of this little baby in this condition. Once you have circulatory collapse, the tissue dies. It's called gangrene. And I can't even imagine you as a mom walking into the room, seeing the doctor pick up your son's foot, and his toe falls off, and not to mention the fact that these are the same idiots who told you to go home before, don't worry, everything's fine, and now you're stuck, you know, having your son in their care. And, you know, we only have a half hour left. I want to make sure that we get this out there because I spent quite a bit of time talking to you prior, offline or, you know, off the show. Another thing that really blew my mind is when you did go to the media, and of course they totally whitewashed your story, which is shown on this YouTube. However, please tell the listeners what the doctor said to you because you went to the media. Because this is evil.
Well, the doctors warned me not to go to the media, and they did not want it to be, they just didn't want it to get out. So I did. I went to the media, and afterwards, of course, there were news crews. They were trying to run down the hallways to take pictures of my son, and it kind of got a little off of hand, but the doctors were really, they were really angry at the fact that I went to the media about it, and the doctor told me, he said, now that you have gone to the media about your son, we're not going to be able to give your son the proper attention that he deserves because now we're going to have to worry with everybody that's coming into the emergency room panicking. That's what you have done. So I had to go and get a lawyer to come to the hospital just to make sure that those doctors did everything they did that they were supposed to do because they threatened to not give my son all the attention that he needed while he was in the hospital because I went to the media.
Yeah, that's like the mafia coming to you and saying, you know, if you don't give us a certain amount of money, we're going to kill you. It's basically the same difference. Your son is trapped there. He has to have this life support because he's in a coma. And now they're telling you, well, lady, we don't like what you did. So, you know, don't, basically the take home message is don't be surprised if you come in someday and he's dead.
Yeah, and they did tell me that they you know, he could die at any moment. And they were just, they gave up on him. They told me that they really didn't care. They were like, you should just pull the plug. There's no way this child's going to make it. He's got a 5% chance. He's a vegetable. Look at him. And I'm like, you know, I'm not going to pull the plug on my kid. You know, that's not going to determine my child's life. I can't just kill him off, you know, even though he didn't look so great.
Well, not to mention the fact that you heard my prior conversation with Lindsay, I mentioned... And this is under, I think in most states, it's under the estates law. It's actually in the law that, it, and this applies true with anybody that doesn't have a job, basically. If you're not earning a living, you're considered a worthless eater. And this applies to children and elderly. And so if you're maimed or have a permanent disability from something they've done, you can get more compensation than if you're dead. And that's why I was saying that they have a total reason, you know, a motivation to kill them. which is very easy for them to do. They can give them a mismatched blood transfusion, a little bit too much morphine so they stop breathing, a drug cocktail. There's many ways they can kill them in the hospital. I saw it, and that's why I left. So basically, that's what's going on. I'm sure they knew. Your case is another very strong case for the vaccine court, if you could find an honest attorney to help you, because the fact that this happened in only 10 days in both of your children, and that 30 other children in that same area that got the same vaccine are dead, I mean, to ignore the vaccine connection, it's heinous.
Yes. I told the news crew, there was also another newscasting where I told the news crew about how the other kids, they knew about the other kids. It was been on the news about that, but they never said that it was from the H1N1 shot. They just said that these kids spread a disease from each other, past each other, you know, from one person to another inside the school district, and that's how they all died, and that's how they all got sick. But actually, that's not how it happened. They all, I mean, one mother said that she gave her son the shot, and he said he had a headache, so she went to bed early, and that day she woke up the next morning, he was dead. And he just had the shot, and he just said he had a headache, went to bed, and she woke up, and he was dead. You know?
Let me just mention, because I'm constantly getting research all the time. I have so many listeners and clients. And especially this journalist in the UK, Christina England, we work together a lot, and she sent me a most amazing research paper from the Human and Experimental Toxicology, and this was published, let's see, when was this published? It's pages 1 through 12. All right, I'm going to have to look for the date. But the key thing, this is the title of the article. Comparison of VAERS fetal loss reports during three consecutive influenza seasons. Was there a synergistic fetal toxicity associated with the two vaccine 2009-2010 season? And what they concluded in this article, And this was the year your son and daughter got the vaccine, as well as yourself, that the 2009-2010 season was much more dangerous. In fact, they reported a massive incidence of fetal loss, 77.8 per million,
oh my God,
as opposed to 6.8 per million in the previous season. So we're talking of over a 10%, you know, 6.8 to 77.8. That's huge, okay? So it's very obvious that this 2009-2010 season was much more dangerous, because they were giving out two vaccines then. They were given the H1N1 plus the seasonal. Now they've combined them, and the death rate has gone down to some degree, but obviously this is a very dangerous vaccine. And, you know, this is a mainstream media publication that they're reporting this in. This is in terms of miscarriages, but, you know, the bottom line is little children are not supposed to be injected with massive amounts of viruses, you know, heavy metals, fluoride, mercury, whatever, aspartame, the list is endless. This is what's killing these children.
It sure is. It definitely is. The day that they gave my son that shot, also, they combined it with, I think, three other shots. He had the H1N1 shot, and then they gave him his regular scheduled shots as well. And I was a little...
America, where anti today's been vaccine-induced disease and death is always covered up. And I'm sure that we have listeners all over the world just sitting there with their mouths open aghast. I am so grateful to Lindsay Pelton and Alicia Hampton for coming on the show so you can hear the mom's testimony. I've been telling you this for 15 years, folks. I get calls all the time. Most people are too scared to come on the air and tell what's going on. But you see, this is something we can do something about. The chemtrails, the poisoning of our water, the GMO food, there's a limited amount we can do. But one by one, as parents, we can protect our children. We can stop the injection of these bioweapon vaccines. And that's going to be huge in terms of not only stopping the massive amount of disease and death we have going on, but also in waking parents up as to the fact that your HHS, Health and Human Services, your CDC, your white coat down at the hospital or your local pediatrician, they don't have your child's interests at heart. They are traitors. They're committing crimes against humanity. And as far as I'm concerned, these monsters have to be put out of business altogether. But in the last few minutes of the show, Alicia, I just want you to bring it home to the listeners. I mean, obviously, Lindsay lost her son. That's a devastation. What you went through in a hospital for 6 months, watching your little baby son on life support, watching the pediatrician lift up his leg and his toe falls off. Please bring it home in terms of all the amputations he had to have, and what shape is he in today?
About 2 weeks after he was in the hospital, they took both his bottom parts of his legs. They went straight to their kneecap. So he had two through the kneecap amputations. So he just had the top half of his thigh and all 10 of his fingers down to, your first knuckle. He lost all 10 of his fingers, and he looks like he's got a cleft nose. A whole piece of his nose on one side fell off, and pieces of his ears. And he was also blind for 2 weeks after coming out of the coma. They did skin grafts on him. They wanted to take his entire bottom half of his body. They didn't even want to, you know, save the rest of him. They just wanted to take the whole bottom half, which he wouldn't have no bottom at all. And they wanted to take all of his fingers. So I had to hire, you know, I had to get a specialist to come in to check the blood inside the bones just to make sure that it was still alive so that we could keep it. Otherwise, they were just going to take it off. So I saved most fingers for him. Otherwise, you know, they would have just, they didn't care at all.
Let me just say, if you had not got that attorney, they would have killed him. Because once you got that attorney,
yeah,
they knew they were being watched. Have you gotten his medical records?
No, I had a very hard time with that. Very hard time with that. And I still don't have those medical records from that hospital still to this day.
Every time I went down there,
there was a problem.
I would keep pursuing that. You have a right to those medical records, and you need to get a hold of those because, you know, who knows what we can do with those medical records in the future. So we have a 5-year-old boy with bilateral leg prosthesis with no fingers from the first knuckle up, and kind of a deformed nose because and the ears, because all of these areas that have end circulation, obviously, due to the circulatory collapse, he developed gangrene, and that's why I want you to go to Damon Hamptons,
yes.
D-A-M-I-N Hamptons, H-A-M-P-T-O-N-S story. Look at the photos of this little boy. People, if you don't want this to happen to your child, you better get a backbone. You better stand up to these monsters. These moms didn't know any better. I didn't know any better when I got my son vaccinated and then he was brain damaged. The information's out there now. There's no excuse. Okay, and we have one other caller on the line. I just want to bring in this last-minute caller, but please stay on the line, both of you. Caller from 812, are you there?
Hi, Dr. Carley, this is Bill.
Yes.
Hi, I just wanted to say, listening to these women, it is a nightmare come to life. And my heart's go out to you, ladies. What I've gotten from the show, I've been able to listen to the whole show. These health clinics, these county health clinics, are the retail distribution centers for the bioweapons lab manufacturing plants.
There you go.
And every single parent who is allowing their children to be vaccinated face the specter of what you ladies are living in real life. And then finally, all the bad guys know this. We need to know it too. Never talk to the police. They are not on our sides. And everything and anything you say will, at best, not be used for you, and at worst, will be used against you.
Or be twisted and spun into something totally different, because we've had so many examples of this. They only, you know, like if somebody makes a confession after 24 hours of torture or whatever, you know, they never tape record or photograph, you know, the 24 hours of torture. They just photograph what they want to photograph after you've been brought to your knees.
Yeah, just like at the Nuremberg trials.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, I can hear that it's, and see, Bill is a regular listener to the show and actually a client of mine, and he has a heart and he has a conscience, and I can actually hear in your voice, Bill, that this has choked you up to some degree. I know that you love children and you love pets, and that's why I always got to bring the pets up, because they're killing your pets as well, and in my condition, they've stolen my child. My three dogs and my two cats, they are my family. Okay?
The most important thing in life, Dr. Carly, the most precious thing, the closest thing to God on earth are children. And for them to go through what they're going through and have their children go through what they went through and die and suffer, it is absolutely the work of the monster himself, and it's just horrifying. And I'm thankful it didn't happen to me, but I feel bad for them because I know how they feel.
Right. And that's why I want to ask everybody listening to post the archive of this show, which will be on Orion Talk Radio, I'm sure, by tomorrow. Also, the lightofdayradioshow.com archives, it should be up by tomorrow. And on that archive, you can listen without commercials. Post this everywhere. Let the trolls pretend that these women are delusional or insane. Okay, bring it on. Okay, I want these cowards to call into my show and to confront me with whatever they have to say about vaccines, because I have done my homework for over 15 years. These vaccines are bioweapons. They are depopulating the earth as per Agenda 21. Check it out for yourself. They admit this right in their own document. Actually, the best document to check out is Agenda 21 for Dummies, because they bring you right to the important factoids. And also, you know, basically just ask yourself, why would injecting a child or a pet or any of us with some dangerous germ be a way to protect us? When you think about that, that is the biggest hoodwink that's ever been brought over, you know, the people of the planet, except for perhaps the Holocaust, which is another story. But in terms of medicine, you know, how they ever got people to buy this scam is amazing to me. But I will admit, I bought it too. After many years of sleep deprivation and nutritional deprivation and mind control in medical school, I said, yeah, Joey, let's go get your vaccines. We're going to protect you. And then I watched them, you know, become brain damaged as well. So anybody that cares about children, they have to help spread this word. This is one thing we can stop, and all we have to do is say no. So thank you so much for calling in, Bill. Lindsay,
yes,
or Alicia, do you have any closing comments?
No, actually, I don't.
Okay. Well, I want both of you to keep in touch with me. Let me know what's going on. Alicia, I strongly suggest whatever it takes, you have a right to get the medical records from the hospital. I know that, the health clinic is denying you ever went there. That's obvious, you know, fraud. They know what they did, and especially when all those children died. But you have a right to those records. And those records...
Thank you for having me on the show.
Yeah, those records...
Yeah, I really appreciate it too, Dr. Carly.
You're welcome. But I want Alicia to get those records, and obviously Lindsay as well. You have to get the records ASAP before they have a chance to corrupt them further, because we can do stuff with those records. I know how to read their chicken scratch. I will find the truth amongst the medical records.
Okay. I will do my best.
All right. And I just commend both
of you.
I commend both of you for being strong and continuing on. I've suffered my own private hell in regards to what was done to my son. There's nothing more you can do to destroy a mother than to kill their child or torture them or damage them in some way. And this is what the psychopaths are up to. Because if the mothers can't stand up because they just don't have any, you know, strength left within them, then the world's going to go to hell in a handbasket. But I think there's another thing that's going to happen, and it's going to be because of moms like Lindsay and Alicia and men like Bill and his wife Maggie. So thank you both for being on the show. Spread the archives around, folks, and we'll be back next week with more on What's Ailing America.
At AlignTalkRadio.com, you could say that we're all talk.
Our guest tonight is Michael Murphy, the producer of What in the World Are They Spraying?
The chemtrail issue is so...